Murky's podcast, and I'm very, very excited today to talk to one of my favorite guests that we've had on. We had so much fun the last time she was on the podcast. We are talking with writer Julie Sherman Wolfe. And Julie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast again, second time.
Thank you so much for having me back. It was so much fun the first time. Yeah. I laughed so hard.
Yeah, we really did. I mean, we could have talked. And I cut a bit out just because it was so long, but we could have talked for the whole evening. We really could.
I think there should be some sort of live, dinner party with all you guys and you know, me and Nina and whoever else you guys have on, just some sort of,
That would be so fun.
But it should be somewhere really good that we have to, that we can all write off as a trip, like Hawaii.
Well, yeah. Oh my gosh. Our dream Hallmark writer's retreat that even though I'm not a writer, I can.
Actually, then it should be in Vermont, honestly, if it's going to be, it really should be up here in my neck of the woods.
I mean, we have interviewed enough writers at this point that we would have a fun group.
It would be fun. But then the problem is there'd have to be the recorded part that we do, that gets that on the, and then there'd have to be the cone of silence part,
That's true. So. Maybe it would just be a patron only exclusive.
Oh yeah. There you go. Yeah. There you go. I finally got a patron account, mostly because I don't know why I thought it was Patreon.
It's Patreon.
I got it. Now I can say it because I've learned to say it. So I'm now, now I'm okay.
Yeah. Well, we'll put a link down. Anybody, please support us on Patreon. We sure appreciate it. But yeah,
Patreon. I don't know what it means though, but happy to support. That's fine.
Yeah. Because we've interviewed the Berg sisters. We've interviewed, and they would be so fun. We've interviewed the Berg sisters. We've interviewed Anna White. These are just the screenwriters we've interviewed. Nina Weidman will be fifth time this season. Topher Payne, Sarah Montana, Zach Hugg, Marcy Holland, Tracy Andreen, of course you, and Joa Boken. So
Marcy and Tracy and Nina are sort of, we're sort of the little tribe where we have our little side messaging conversations going at all times just to check in with each other. It's very nice to have that because, writing can be a very solitary pursuit and it's just nice to have people that totally understand what you're, what's going on and, you vent a little bit.
I would love to do an episode one of these days on Marcy's shark movies. I think that would be really fun.
Oh, for sure. It's so funny because she lives in Boston and I'm here and we keep saying we need to get together, but we're both so busy. I'm very happy. Hashtag blessed. But yeah, I have to get together with her. That's why it was so great to have Christmas Con up here. Yeah. I could drive there. It was awesome.
We also got to interview Samantha Herman, but that will be coming.
I don't know a few of them. I feel like we all need to, there definitely needs to be a retreat.
I love that. That would be so fun. But yeah, so Christmas Con,
so fun.
Yeah. So you got to get picked to be in this writers panel. We talked to Elise Murray about it. But what was that like?
It was actually a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun in the green room because there were a few, a handful of Hallmark actors back there that I already knew. And, it's harder to chit chat at TCA, which is the Critics Association gala that Hallmark has twice a year. And I always go back to LA for that, but that's a big fancy night where everyone's, dressed up and there's interviews and red carpets. And it's just not a great time to catch up with people. So it was really fun to just hang out and, chit chat with people that I knew. And actually had a lovely talk with Cameron Matheson because I was supposed to go to the set of Christmas Club in the summer in Winnipeg, and I ended up getting sick whilst on vacation. So I flew straight home instead of going to the set, which was my next. I also missed TCA that year. It was supposed to be my we went to Alaska. I got the flu, both kinds of flu, by the way, double. And then my next phase was supposed to be to go to Christmas Club, and then I was supposed to fly to LA for the Hallmark thing, and I missed those two things, those last two things.
No,
so it was nice to see Cameron and just tell him how great he was in it, and he is so, I can't wait till you see it.
I'm so excited.
I cannot wait. So I got to talk to him about it. I'm sure we'll talk more about that movie in a minute, but great to talk to him. And then, you know, it was really funny because it was literally just like the Hallmark family reunion. Everyone just kind of hanging out. And my favorite thing was watching Santa sort of load up his plate at the lunch buffet in the green room. That made me laugh. I wish I could have taken a picture.
Yeah.
It's just Santa with, you know, with tongs picking out the best part of the salad.
You're like, who knew that Santa was a picky eater?
Santa is taking all the pecans out of the salad, everybody.
That's funny. Yeah, that would be.
And then all the kids, there was a bunch of kids in there. I think Chad Michael Murray's kids and a couple other people's kids were in there, and they're looking at Santa, and you know, everyone's going like, isn't that cool? You know, remember, Santa has to fatten up. Everyone's, you know, talking about how, you know, Santa eats too. Isn't that cool that you get to see Santa eat, you know, and hog the pecans and cranberries in the salad.
You're like, I didn't know that. That would be really funny if like Santa was gluten free or something. Like that would be hilarious.
That would be really funny. or he actually just can't have sugar.
Yeah,
he just can't have sugar.
He's like, all these cookies, they ruined me.
He's like, I'm keto.
Keto. Oh my gosh, keto. My friends, a bunch of them have these keto Instagram things, and so I follow them just to support my friends, and God bless them, the food that they post looks so gross. I'm just like, you're it always looks kind of gray and pasty, and I'm just like,
it's, you know what, it totally works, but it's totally not sustainable. I'm actually thinking about doing, I don't know how to brand this, but like, just from all the fertility treatment I went through to have my son, who is now 10, by the way, I cannot blame my, you know, baby weight at this point. But I went through a lot of fertility treatment and all this stuff, and my job is very sedentary. I thought, how can I do like, you know, Hallmark writer, you know, follow the Hallmark writer as she attempts to drop 50 pounds. I don't know. I feel like there's almost a, you know, there'd be accountability in that way, but nobody actually wants to see that, you know?
If you do Instagram though, just don't make your food look like prison food.
No. What I would do is, no, oh my God, no, wait. This is genius. Here it comes. If I make it about the writer, me being, you know, trying to do this, and I post it on Instagram, then this is business. And then I can have a food delivery service make me good food and write it off.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. That's genius.
Maybe you can start writing a love story about the food delivery.
About food delivery. Service. That's right. You know that actor, you know, Ryan McPartlin, he's been in a couple of Hallmark movies. He is a friend of mine because we used to live in the same town. Uh-huh. His wife started one of those food deliveries. I mean, you know, they're both in insane shape, but you know, his wife did that, and it's very popular. I don't think it would work in Connecticut necessarily, but
Meals on Wheels in Love or something.
Oh my gosh. Totally.
Yeah.
Well, you're gonna get a cut of this now.
You know, my favorite thing in the whole world is coming up with pitches. Like, I don't know if I'm really cut out for actual writing, but I love, you give me like an ingredient, I will, like, you give me like the tools that you need,
the title,
I love
basically
coming that's up with pitches.
You can reverse engineer anything, right?
Yeah, it's my favorite thing in the whole world to do. We just did the other day. We had for Christmas scavenger hunt, we had the actor who played the wrong guy named John Welch on. And so we spent about 10 minutes coming up with what the sequel for his character would be, his redemption arc. And I love stuff like that.
When after you see Christmas Club, there's something that happens at the end that is begging for a sequel. So we'll have to talk about it after.
Yeah.
I can't give it away.
I'm excited.
Well, I felt like it was left hanging. Yeah. So,
well, so you have had a bit of a gap as far as things premiering. I'd obviously been working. And so I was just curious to talk about your process and how do you stay motivated in these like writing intense kind of this gap years, like balancing so many projects you're working on at the same time. How do you stay motivated in your writing?
Well, it's funny. So when you guys see a gap, it's not really for me,
right?
Because I have 8 or 9 or 10 things going at once, and they're all in various phases. So a couple of the movies, I would say 3 or 4 things that, you know, were supposed to be for 2019 kind of got pushed just for various reasons. And then I was already working on stuff for, you know, in the year. So like I've never worked more in a year where nothing got made. And that's not to say it's not going to, and you know, things are now, a lot of stuff has started to ramp up.
Uh-huh.
But so I was extremely busy. Like I didn't feel like I ever had a day where there wasn't something I could be writing, for one project or another.
Uh-huh.
And so now, thank God, I got to wipe some of those off of my desktop and put it in the completed folder.
Yes.
And now I have new things popping up that I'm working on. It's definitely not quite as hectic as it was before, because I already have 2 Christmas movies sort of like well on their way for next year. One, it already has a draft done, and one is already has the outline done.
Amazing.
So we're farther ahead than last year. And then, of course, I have non-Christmas movies. Shocking. I know,
hey.
But I do have other, other things. I'd love to write the Christmas movies the most, but I also have like a wedding one that I can't wait till it gets made. And there's, I was going to say a high school reunion one, but now we're changing it into a wedding one.
Oh.
And then I have a very exciting one that is based in Italy that I know I talked about last time, but now we're much closer to that being real. And I can't tell you who the producer is that's involved, but it's great and exciting.
Oh, that's
and
great.
Just a lot of stuff. So
yeah.
It's funny. So like the gap year on the air is, yeah, it doesn't, it, to me, it didn't feel like any kind of
yeah.
gap at all.
Cause they're yeah,
ultimately, they're all going to get made.
Yeah. Cause you have 3 coming out this season.
Yes.
Which is amazing. But do you ever get writer's block? Do you ever get where you just cannot think of any ideas?
So what I tell people is that after 20 some odd years of it, you just can't. That's not a luxury I can afford as writer's block, to be honest. Like, you know, I can feel like I don't have time to really sit and get a good writing session in, and that stresses me out. Like, you know, just life gets in the way. And it's funny, when you work from home, people just assume you could just drop everything and go do stuff. Like, you know, well, you work from home, so it's not like a real job where you just come to the school at noon and hand out snacks for the kids for whatever, you know, what does it matter? You're home, you know?
Right.
At one point I considered getting an office just so that I could not be accessible, but it's fine. I've learned to say no. And you know, what was the question?
Well, no, I mean, just if you ever get writer's block and you just don't know what to do kind of with a project.
You know what, if you sit there long enough, honest to God, if you sit there long enough and just start typing, it'll find itself. And you might have to go back and fix stuff when you, from the beginning. But like, if I have a scene to write and I have no idea like what it's going to be, I will just sort of do sort of the bad version.
Uh-huh.
And what I call the bad version, which I'm sure is still just fabulous, right? The bad version.
Yeah.
No, I'll do like the bad version, and then I'll kind of like, it'll find itself, and then I'll go back and fix it.
Uh-huh.
I love my favorite way to write when I have the luxury of time is to kind of do what I call a vomit draft and just write everything that's coming out of my head and not really care about structure or punctuation or grammar or typos and just do it. And then I go back through it and kind of just, you know, mold it. So I like throw the giant chunk of clay out there in a splat, like a, you know, and then I kind of mold it into a statue or whatever it's going to be.
If you were in the world of literature, you'd say then you're like a pantser versus a plotter.
Sometimes with like dialogue, you know, it's easier just to type and not try too hard to think about every single word when you're typing as fast as you're thinking. It's just better to just let it just go.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And not stress over it, because then it'll sound more natural, and then you can go back and fine tune it. You know, because to me, it's almost like a math problem at the end when you write a scene. You know, it's everything has a balance, everything has a feel to it, and I know when it's right. So, but yeah, so for writer's block, I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe when I just first started out, I think it's a good excuse to not work. But you really, sometimes you just can't, not work. You have to do it.
Right. Well, I mean, that's probably an advantage of having a bunch of different projects you're working on. Maybe you can work for a little bit on something else. Now kind of get the juices flowing.
Right. And you know, you just can't say, oh, I just can't do it today. There's just no time to have that. Yeah. So for me though, and I think this is sort of an ADHD thing, is that I really can't do more than one thing in a day. Like, it's really hard for me to start, you know, a wedding movie and then switch over to the Christmas movie.
Right.
So if I have a call on, let's say, a Christmas movie, if I have a notes call or something from the network, I really won't even start something else because I just have to get my head in the right place. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a weird quirk of me, but now I think it's just it's like a focus. like a focus thing. I'm really good at focusing on one thing at a time.
Yeah. I mean, they say the whole multitasking thing is basically a myth. Like, the human brain can't physically do two things at once. So
I believe that. I do. But then my son he's literally doing math homework while he's singing a song. And I'm like, dude, are you seriously? There's no way that you were able to do this, but he's doing it. He can read books with stand-up comedy going on in the background.
Ooh,
so
that's
either
tough
he's
for me.
I don't know how he does it, and you know, he'll probably, you know, I don't know if he's retaining anything that he's hearing or learning. Yeah. But I didn't retain anything. I always say, like, I don't know how I even do my job because I have the worst memory on the planet. Uh-huh. For anything that's ever happened to me, seen, read, heard, tasted, I forget everything.
Yeah. That's why my sister is, and it's so sad. I'm like, because she's a lot younger than me. She's 10 years younger than me, and she, you don't remember that? You don't remember all that time I spent with you when you were little? You don't remember any of it?
I don't remember entire trips, and I didn't have nothing traumatic happen either. Like, my mother insists that we went to Washington, D.C. when I was 16, and I'm like, I swear to God, we did not go to Washington. Show me a picture. Uh-huh. And she can't find a picture. So, you know, now I don't know.
I don't know, but
people will tell me, oh, remember that day in high school? And it would be something major. Like, remember that day in high school when someone, you know, poured gravy on your head and, you know, whatever. Like, just, it would have been something super, super major in a teenager's life. And I just forget. I don't know. I don't think I've blocked it out either. Like, just anything.
Well, so, I mean, that can be an advantage in the end, because you could meet who was your high school enemy, person you hated. And you meet them and you're like, oh, hi.
Actually, that's kind of true, because I went back to a reunion and had this lovely chat with somebody. And I'm like, she's really nice. Who is that? And I finally see her name tag. You know, it was her hair was hiding it. I'm like, oh, I'm going to use a fake name, like, you know, that was Mary Beth? Oh my God. You know, like, because I didn't recognize her.
That's funny.
But, I mean, now Beth, the downside of this, by the way, is that I totally plagiarized myself in my Christmas movies. And now this will be your Easter egg of all Easter eggs. People listening to this, is I have the same line of dialogue. Uh-oh. I'm very embarrassed about this, but there's nothing I can do about it now, so I'm just going to share it. It's in the reason I know I did it is because the producer is the same for both of these two movies that I'm talking about, and they're like, this sounds really familiar, and we looked it up, and I'm like, oh my God, no, we have to change it. And they're like, no, it's really good. I go, no, we have to change it, and they said, no, it works.
That's
so
really
for the record,
funny.
I tried to change it. I'm not even going to say what it is. It's going to be a contest. And whoever can figure it out, I will send a copy of my husband's book of Schmelf the Hanukkah Elf. Whoever is the first to figure out the self-plagiarism. I'm just making up this contest right now.
Yes. All right.
That's the contest.
I expect
signed copy of Schmelf the Hanukkah Elf.
I
no
expect
less.
Our sleuthers to get on this. And to be,
Now, if it turns out they cut it, I will let you know, but I don't think they did. I think it is in both.
I was going to say to you, if you ever need, I hereby give you permission, if you ever need to use us as an excuse to get out of whatever those people want you to do, just be like, sorry, I have to deal with this podcast. You can blame it on us.
That's right. I'll say, you know, yeah, exactly. I just, it's embarrassing, but it's just, you know, like, well, it's a pretty good line, right? So, yeah, of course I would think of it twice because I have no memory of anything I've ever written. So I was watching on Disney Plus, I was watching a really old episode I wrote of Phil of the Future with my son. And I'm like, I'm listening to the line song. This is pretty good. Did I write that? Oh my gosh. That's pretty good.
Yeah, so that's true. I didn't even think that when we were talking about Disney Plus off air that you can watch some of your own stuff, like your Avalon High and your so that's pretty exciting.
I got Avalon High is on there, which is great to see again. I haven't seen that in years. And then the best thing for me is Phil of the Future. I loved that year. That was so much fun. We had the best time ever. It was the second and final season. We had so much fun on that show. I thought it was really funny and great. And I have many voiceovers in there, like little acting, secret voiceovers, uncredited.
Right.
My son didn't believe it was me because I did an accent. Thank you very much. And so that was a lot of fun. Then there's couple Jonases that I wrote around that time. I think that's it. I'm still looking for my elusive Third Rock from the Sun episode. I can't seem to find anywhere.
So you wrote one episode and then you
I was on staff for 1 year and one episode was my, you know, my episode, whatever. This was way back. Yeah. Way back.
That's awesome. Yeah, you've been enjoying Disney Plus.
Very much. By the way, I feel super old now because not only am I thinking back to like how long I've been doing this, but also because I'm laying in bed with my back with an ice pack and, you know.
Yeah.
I just feel really old right now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, when you get to there's always those moments where you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah, so everyone listening can enjoy picturing me lying on the bed with an ice pack and a dog and some snacks. That's what's happening right now.
Yeah.
Talking. That's a good excuse not to write is the fact that I can't sit.
I've been there with that.
And I can't stand either. I don't know if anyone's tried a standing desk, but I don't know why, but my brain, I can't do it. I literally cannot write and be creative standing. For whatever reason, I can't do it. I tried.
Yeah, I just feel like that's not natural. Like
And I think something in your brain is just, you know, being, if you're standing, you're using, I don't know, you're taking up more space in your body to, you know, your thought processes on not falling, right? I don't know. Yeah. Like your brain is more busy when you're standing. That's what I think.
Yeah, well, and then there's people who like walk on the treadmill, those kind of, like, it's what? No. Yeah.
I mean, if I were like an agent or something, I would definitely roll calls, you know, on the treadmill, because that sounds fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's just chit chat. And then I tried the desk. I actually bought this and returned it, where like you could make it go up or down, you know, based on what you were doing. So I would, you know, I said, okay, well, when I'm doing emails and calls, I'll be up. And then when I write, I'll be down. But then I realized I switch between those things every 10 seconds, and that's not going to work either.
Yeah. So do you try to watch the Hallmark movies, or do you feel like that's just to see kind of what other people are doing, or do you feel like it's kind of distracting from your writing?
So I don't generally, I don't watch a lot of them. I do watch them, but sometimes, but because this is honestly the truth, because my memory is so bad, I don't want to accidentally, you know, watch something and then think I thought of it later.
Right.
Because that's totally, you know, in the realm of possibility. It hasn't happened yet, but I like to, you know, I'll watch stuff from people who I know and everything. And then I've been trying to watch as many Christmas movies as I can, just to, you know, but it's hard because, you know, most of my time's spent working, and you know, I don't really have that much time to watch anything.
Right.
Unfortunately, like this, actually the last couple of days that I have been watching, I like watching them live, kind of like with the commercials and the whole thing during the day. So I was like just on the couch yesterday because of my back, and just watching a bunch of old Hallmark Christmas movies. Uh-huh. And I really did I'd never watched Nine Lives of Christmas. And
oh, really?
I loved it. Yeah, I loved
it. It's really good.
I really, really liked it. I was like, oh my God. And I worked with that producer a number of times. So I emailed him. I'm like, hey, I may have told you that I saw it before, and you know, but I really watched it and I loved it.
Like, well,
you know,
you should watch.
But I love that. And what did I just see that was really great? Well, I kind of cried yesterday watching A Princess for Christmas, and I don't know if it was me or the muscle relaxer I was taking, but.
I mean, all the, I like all the princess movies they all kind of, we got a lot the year of the royal wedding. Like, there were so many.
I do have a royal Christmas movie for next year, but it's not the usual.
Ah, good. We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode. Podcast. They are the good folks over at Glamour Jewelry Box. And right now you can save $5 on your first month subscription. Go to glamourjewelrybox.com and use code Hallmarkies during checkout. It's really cool what Glamour Jewelry Box does, because we all want to feel plaza worthy, especially during the holidays. And the thing that I think can really help is if you have the right accessories. And with Glamour Jewelry Box, you get sent every month a necklace, a bracelet, and a pair of earrings. And they really try to be trendy, but not like weird trendy. And so it's something that not everybody else would be wearing. It'll be something unique, but also tasteful and classy and beautiful. And I was really impressed with the pieces that they sent over. And so you can get $5 off your first month subscription. Go to glamourjewelrybox.com and use code Hallmarkies.
So, I mean, that's not to say I don't ever want to write, you know, something edgier again. But for right now, you know, I love romantic comedy. It's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, and keeping it, I think it's more of a challenge to write a G-rated rom-com than a PG-rated rom-com.
Yeah,
I mean, because you have to express the romance and the attraction and the spark. It is so much harder to do that without, you know, physical, without like anything physical, without being able to say certain things that aren't rated G.
Yeah.
You know, it's just harder. It's like you know, the old school rom-coms like Philadelphia Story and all those ones where they didn't have the luxury of you know, sex or anything like that, you know.
I
do love it.
That the movies from that era and are actually sexier. I do. When it's sort of under, when it's implied, and when it's kind of and you can get some of that screwball comedy. I think it's you know, I love Breakfast at Tiffany's, and that's not a screwball comedy, but I love it.
It is a couple times.
it can be, but I love it, and the if they. if they tried to make that movie now, it would be R-rated and so.
Also, there's certain parts of Breakfast at Tiffany's that would never, you know. I mean,
well, yeah,
no way.
I mean, the casting, of course, would be very different. but yeah, I mean, I just think they would just ruin it, and it wouldn't have the heart that it, I think, it has. And
right.
I mean, they've tried to put it on Broadway, and it was a disaster.
Like, did you ever see Pillow Talk with Doris Day and Rock Hudson?
Did
that's
I
one of my very, very
Pillow
favorite.
Talk?
What is I this? Love that movie. I just love it. And that's,
yeah,
to me,
it's
like the perfect little light rom-com. It's bright and shiny and happy and funny. I just love that movie so much.
Me
that was
too.
One of the first big posters I ever had up, like a movie poster.
Yeah.
It was that and Singing in the Rain next to each other.
Oh, that's
in my first,
cool.
In my first office.
Yeah.
I have a weird movie, like top five, where number one is Coming to America.
Uh-huh.
With Eddie Murphy. Uh-huh. That's like my number one. All my favorite
Do you know they're
movie.
Doing a sequel next year?
You can't even talk to me about that. That, to me, that is as bad as the Princess Bride sequel that they were talking about last year that everybody went crazy, like, you know, freaking out about.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot imagine, I'm not going to watch it. I just can't. Like.
Well, I mean, and long-awaited comedy sequels have not had a good track record lately.
No,
so.
But it's just a perfect little movie as it is. I love it so much. I do. It's like, that's number one, and then number two is Singing in the Rain, then
that's
Sound
great.
Of Music, then Pillow Talk, and then I don't remember the rest because I'm me and I don't remember things. So I would have to go look at my list because people always ask me, what's your favorite show? I'm like, I don't remember the name of any TV show ever in history. If you ask me that, what's your favorite food? I don't remember the names of foods now. That's like I would just say pizza. I would say pizza because that's the food I can remember at that moment. It's so sad.
Well,
something's really wrong with me. This is kind of like, this is like a moment where someone's going to be listening and be like, okay, we need to get in touch with Julie because we think we have a diagnosis.
That's really funny. It's good that we have our phones now, though, because all that stuff is just a click away.
True.
But I love animation is my favorite. And so my favorite movies, and my favorite is this anime movie called Your Name, which I just thought was brilliant on every level. And then I love the movie Up from Pixar.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, that's Ugly Cry City right there for me.
Yes. And then I love The Little Mermaid. It's like my childhood.
This is a good list. See, you're really good at this. So this is your job. So,
well, thank you. And then I love Jurassic Park.
Oh my God, what a good list.
And then my fifth favorite is The Wizard of Oz. So that's my.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so wait, what's your favorite, When Harry Met Sally type of movie?
Yes, my favorite romantic comedy is You've Got Mail, and I know that it's a remake, but I absolutely love Nora
Ephron.
It
Efron is very,
writing.
Very cute. Yeah,
and
yep.
I mean, I love all of Nora Ephron's writing, even her bad movies. There's something there for me to appreciate.
Yep, I agree.
And I love the way that she managed to kind of add this sort of commentary and these sort of diatribes about stuff, like, and yet still make it funny and you don't feel like they're preaching to you or I don't know.
Totally.
You've Got Mail. I mean, it's so quotable to me. I could go the whole day talking about.
That was my when Harry Met Sally, but I worked in a movie theater the year that came out.
Uh-huh.
So I saw it, you know, the first time I saw it was in the theater. I remember thinking, this is the greatest movie I've ever seen. I think that's probably my number five movie of all time, just because of that. That was my most quoted thing ever. And Dead Poets, same year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get obnoxious about You've Got Mail because I'm just, once we get started talking about it, I'm like, Patricia makes coffee nervous. When I get out of here, I'm going to have my eyes lasered. I mean, I could go on and on and
yeah,
on.
Yeah, they are. It is very quotable.
That I think are hilarious.
I will say about Dead Poets Society, though, this is kind of, I never thought I would say this, but so I was, I think, senior in high school or something when it came out, somewhere like that. And, you know, I was so into it that I actually changed my name tag at the movie theater to Nawanda. Right. So I was really into it and just like obsessed with it. And it made me, you know, part of the reason I like love New England and just the way it looked and everything. And then I watched it again, probably 10 years ago. I'm like, wait, he's killing himself because his dad won't let him be in a play. Like, really? I was just like,
I kind of have the similar experience, but with, I don't love what I call angsty teen movies. They're not right. my favorite. And I famously outraged. People were outraged. I did not like The Fault in Our Stars. I just, the whole time I'm just like, oh my gosh. Oh.
Okay, so I haven't even seen that yet. So then you can turn the outrage to me because I never even watched it. Okay. So there you go.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, as far as my favorite movies, that I have Spirited Away is mine, which is the anime that I adore. You've got Mail, Back to the Future, Breakfast at Tiffany's, and Star Wars are my top 10.
This is a very good list. I do love all the, like, I know Raiders of the Lost Ark is in mine somewhere, and Back to the Future is in there. I mean, I remember things as people tell me. I'm like, oh my God, yeah, that one. Yeah. Yeah. And my, we're trying to give our son a very wide ranging, you know, movie background. Uh-huh. So I finally found a Coming to America that had all the bad stuff cut out for network, but like even more than normal for network, almost kid friendly. It was amazing. So I got to show him that. I'm like, oh, there's more, but you get to wait till you're older. So
you like it?
Oh my God, totally. Yeah. Yeah. Because Greg and I all the time are always quoting from it, and he had no idea that's what it was from. So now he, you know, now he does like whatever you like that. So, and it's funny because now we're getting him. He's into the Beatles now. You know, every kid goes through their Beatles phase. He's in his Beatles phase. And we showed him yesterday, which was his first real film to watch ever, and he loved it. So that was cool to see him really into a movie that wasn't The Avengers or you know, something actiony, but a real film.
It's cinema, as we've seen.
Yeah, cinema. The cinema. Yes, exactly.
I don't know how many of my top 10 that Scorsese would consider cinema, but whatever.
I think a lot of your top 10 would be considered cinema.
I hope so. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I used to be more precious about my lists because I thought, you know, I had to listen to NPR and have a very artsy list of films like Jules and Jim would be on my list. Why? Because I saw it and it's French. And so it's my list.
It's always tempting to put Citizen Kane, something like that.
I know. I mean, I liked Chocolat, but I mean, how pretentious is that to put on your list? I can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, I liked it.
But yeah, I mean, because I definitely, if I'm talking influential, best made, but this is just what I like.
It's the movie. I always say, whatever movie. If it's on TV, you will still stop what you're doing and watch it, even if there's commercials. And even if you own the DVD, that's your favorite movie.
Yeah, and these 10.
Lethal Weapon is one that we always stop and watch. You know, like there's just a lot of them that are like, they're just there and you watch them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I agree. So you have 3 movies coming out.
I do.
Yeah. I'd like to take a second and to thank our second sponsor for this episode of the podcast. They are Skylight Frame. Right now is a special holiday offer. You can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com, enter code Hallmark. So not Hallmarkies, Hallmark for this one. And you'll get the $10 off and you go to Skylight Frame, SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, code Hallmark. And this is really cool. I mean, we've had digital frames around for many years. Really cool is that people can email photos directly to your frame. So you could be looking at your frame and surprise picture from a relative or somebody, a member of your family or anybody who wants to send you a photo. And that would be such a fun surprise to have a picture from your sister or a picture from, because my sisters live in England right now. And so it would be very easy for them to just shoot a email. It just looks classy. It's really nice. They have 100% satisfaction guarantee. And so I think you'll really enjoy it as a family. It's a great way. We think of all these pictures we take on our phone. Now you can just click, click, and it's right on the frame. So definitely check it out. And right now you can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame if you go to skylightframe.com, enter code Hallmark. And so that's Skylight Frame, SKYLIGHTFRAME.com. Promo code Hallmark. And so your first one that our Christmas love song, starring Alicia Witt.
Yes.
And
yes.
We were very lucky and fortunate to be able to interview her. I don't think she's done any other podcasts ever. So
that's amazing. So that's exciting. Great.
I was so excited.
That's great. And I know that from what I've seen, you know, I haven't gotten a chance to really watch the whole thing yet, uh-huh. but from what I've seen of the song, that she sings with Brendan, the duet, uh-huh. they definitely look great together. They sound great. I think it's, you know, I love that she got to write a song for it.
Yeah.
You know, of course, bound to be a Christmas sensation. The song title. I think it's Christmas, I Miss You. Merry Christmas, I Miss You.
Yeah, yeah, she seemed very excited, especially about that part of it with the music. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing it. And
you know, the fact that they got to shoot at the Grand Ole Opry is huge. Just great. I didn't expect that they would get to. I thought we were going to have to fake it. So that was nice.
Yeah, and she lives in Nashville, so that was fun for her.
Totally
and
perfect.
I guess she'd actually debuted on the Grand Ole Opry, she was telling me previously. So she's already, so it was.
So full circle for her.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
Has Brendan been in anything before? I don't think he has on the network, right? He's new.
New to Hallmark.
Yeah, he's cute.
And yeah,
he's
cute. Looks pretty hunky.
Yeah,
I'm excited.
He's pretty good.
I'm excited to see him. And, you know, I always look forward to the Alicia Witt movie. It's just become a Yuletide tradition every year.
Exactly.
I really enjoy.
And but apparently she's posting, I guess she's in Costa Rica right now, though, from judging by the Instagram. So
yeah,
she's going to have to Christmas up the hotel room before, you know, she's got to post, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Although I did write most of these movies in the heat of summer, so... Mm-hmm. I guess it makes sense.
Yeah. So was this how did you end up doing our Christmas love song? Was it an idea you had or was it something requested?
No, it was an idea that was brought to me by the producers and the network. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then, so that's how one thing happens. You know, the next one, Christmas Club, was based on a novella and we turned that into what it is. And, you know, we've talked about this before, how, you know, when you adapt something, it's always a bigger challenge because it's never going to be like the book to get on the Hallmark. You know, it's just never exactly like that. But my goal is to make the author happy, that the kind of the bones and the soul of whatever they wrote stays there. And I think Barbara Hinsky was happy with what it turned into.
That's great.
I mean, she told me she's happy. Secretly, I don't know, but she seems to be happy with it.
I'm sure she is. So I have not, when I first heard this, I was like, ooh, it's going to be about a club that celebrates Christmas.
I know. That's what you thought. I heard you say that.
And so is there a club? Like, what do they mean? Is this like a club in the sense of like an establishment or is there a club?
No. It's okay. So back in the day, you know, back when there was layaways and savings accounts and, you know, all that stuff, there was called the Christmas Club, and a bank would have something called the Christmas Club where they would take out a small portion of somebody's paycheck or savings or whatever. Like they would put it aside for people so that at the end of the, you know, a month before Christmas, they'd get this money. So that's what the banks called it. That's what the stores called it. So that was where that story came from. That was the name of her novel. So that's what it was, the Christmas Club. So I think the good thing is that we added her saying that at the very beginning, the lady who who is a member of the Christmas Club. She kind of explains what it is. It didn't even really occur to me that it would be thought the way you thought of it until you said it. So now I kind of need to write the Christmas Club, a bunch of club of people, like you said, that would get together for Christmas crafts or whatever.
It would be my dream come true. They have a Christmas club where every like month of the year you celebrate Christmas. It would be so fun. You could go and you could have like a potluck and then do like a Christmas craft or watch a Christmas movie. Or
that's so cute. All right, well, you know what, now here's the problem. What do we call it now? Christmas club's gone. The real is in parentheses, the real Christmas club.
I feel like the one of those, what's it, the Alexander McCall Smith books, you know, you could be like the where he has the philosopher's club and the you know, all those the detective agency and all that stuff.
The 12 months of Christmas. How about that?
12 months of Christmas. What's another word for club? Group? That sounds like AA or something.
You're missing the alliteration though if you don't have the k. So we're gonna have to brainstorm on this
I'll put my pitch skills to work. Important. But anyway, no, but I am really looking forward to it. And you told us a little bit about there. So both Cameron Matheson's character and Elizabeth Mitchell's character are in this club where
they're not in the club. It's the late. Okay, so the setup is this: that there's a little old lady who is in front of the toy store during Christmas, and Cameron Matheson's character, who's not paying attention to Christmas or anything except work, because you know that's how we do it, is walking one direction, and Elizabeth Mitchell, who's looking for a Hanukkah present for her coworker because it's Hanukkah, is walking the other way. And as they meet in the middle where this old lady is, she's taking her money out of her wallet and a gust of wind blows it into the air. And that was the setup in the book too. And it's these two come together to help her, and thinking that they helped her just in that moment, and it's a really cute little scene, and it's one of my favorite scenes ever now, is sort of the, like, how they help her and what they tell her when they come up, when they find the money and all the things. It's just really cute. And then, you know, they never would have, and she says, you never would have met if my money hadn't flown away. And it's just how it keeps coming, you know, they keep seeing each other and the money keeps showing up around them, and just how it all just is all connected. And it's just really cute. And I think that personally, I love seeing slightly older actors in a lead role. Not saying they're old. I'm just saying they're not 25, you know. And I love seeing this relationship. They're super cute together. And even all the co-stars, you know, the supporting characters, really good casting. The sister in particular, and I'm so sorry, I can't remember her name, but she's fantastic, is Edward's sister, Cameron Matheson's character's sister in this. And I just, it's very sweet. And the more Cameron talks about the difference that it made in his life, I just can't, I it just makes me so happy.
He kind of was encouraged to go and get his, the CAT scan, MRI. Find the cancer and stuff. So that's pretty amazing.
Right. And I'm not saying like, hey, my movie saved Cameron Matheson's life, but I like that it touched, that it got to him, you know, enough to say like, you know, to pay attention to the little things.
Sure.
That in, you know, I like God wink. I love that phrase. I love that they're using it. That's what that is. Same thing. You know, you can call it Christmas magic or fate or God or anything you want to call it, but to me it's all the same thing. Is you know, paying attention to those little moments, because those are the moments that are sent for you.
I mean, it almost feels, at least in the marketing, which it makes sense, I guess, that it almost feels like Cameron Matheson's movie, but you know, they always have female leads in Hallmark movies, but I don't know, it just sort of feels, at least, that it's sort of equally yoked.
I think it is. I think because they're both stars. They're both, you know, she's not a star necessarily to the network yet, but I think she will be. Yeah. And he's big star for the network. So I think it's a good balance for them.
Uh-huh.
As far as their, especially for their stories, they both really do have strong story arcs separately.
That's together. That's exciting to me. I'm really, really looking forward to it. So, and then you have Christmas in Montana.
Yes.
Later in December, I think.
Yes, December. Yeah. They just moved it. I think it's a good move. They did. They moved it to Saturday night, December 14th. I think any move to a Saturday night is a good thing. Uh-huh. So, yeah, so we got moved to the 14th, and that's with Kelly Martin and Colin Ferguson. And I did make it to the set for that one, which was great. It was freezing, and it wasn't summer, so everybody could act cold, and it was okay, you know? It was freezing
cold. That's dedication when they're, it is, when you can actually see their breath and stuff, it's just way better.
But even in, I would say even in Christmas Club, they definitely, it was definitely warm when they shot it, but I really couldn't tell. You could only tell just kind of the way the light was shining, because you could just tell the season based on the sunlight, but you really wouldn't know. Nobody was sweating. Nobody was, you know what I mean? It still looked like winter, but Christmas in Montana was like legit cold. There was a lot of, when I was there, they were shooting in the barn, and it was like this 300-year-old barn, and each slat of wood had like probably half an inch gap. So it was freezing and windy and loud. So they may have to ADR half this movie. Because it was just like, you know, they're doing the dialogue and just just super windy.
Yeah. Well, I remember the Catherine Bell was talking about how when she did the movie in Fiji, which, I mean, that's not too hard of an ask, I guess, but that they had the ADR, like, because the wind and the ocean and just all that stuff was just too loud. So.
Yeah, totally. And it was in... You know, obviously what makes it louder is having giant little whistles. The barn was basically a giant whistle with all the holes, So, it was kind of fun. It was sort of snuggly and cute, and they had all the Christmas stuff up. And, I was there for the scene where Kelly kind of learns how to get onto a horse and he helps her. And I'm proud to say that she does not accidentally fall off into his arms because... I feel like I'm also guilty of this, by the way, but I am, not this time. We're not doing that. There's no slip and falls.
Aww.
And I'm totally guilty of doing it in the past, but trying to, shake it up a little.
Guilty. That's like my favorite thing ever. When people are, I call it the movie fall, when like they just happen to fall on top of each other into each other's eyes look in each other's eyes. It's the most hilarious thing. I love it.
I'm not saying she doesn't stumble, but she doesn't stumble necessarily. It's definitely more like he steadies her, but there's no like, it's not like she's falling like Princess Bride from the window into his arms. Oh, that's another one. Princess Bride. That's another one I forgot.
Yeah, it's definitely.
That's another top 10. Oh my God. How could I forget Princess Bride?
It's up there in my top 100.
By the way, I have a friend. I have a good friend here who has never seen Princess Bride and hadn't even really heard of it. And I'm like, I don't even know if we can be friends. Like seriously, like that's like a friendship deal breaker. So I'm having her over to watch it.
I think the key to, because there are people I feel like that watch it later, and I think the key to Princess Bride is that. I think people that are expecting it to be like uproariously funny are maybe a little disappointed. It's not that kind of comedy.
It's
funny, but it's not like
it's wordplay and just it's just the best. Anyway, so back to Montana. So it's not that kind of fall. It's just sort of like a little stumble, and she's like, I'm good, I'm cool. I'll get on the horse by myself, dude. Like, don't worry about it. I'm good.
Because there is nothing I love more in a romantic comedy when it's like we're on the subway and oh look it bounced us into each other's arms. Like it's so I don't know there will ever be a situation where that actually happens in real life. But for some reason, I just think it's hilarious. I love it.
We should try to figure out in some sort of detective way the first time that was ever used ever in a movie, the accidental fall into the arms. Like, this would be good.
I fell right on top of you.
How would we ever find this out? Well, also the other thing, and I'm super guilty of it, and I know that I'm super guilty of it, is the and I don't think it's in any of these for Christmas, but it might be in one other one. I got to change it. Is when they the girl's looking out at something and says it's beautiful, and then he's looking at her and says yes it is. That you know what I mean? He's looking at her.
That is a really cheesy moment.
That's the other one. I'm trying to rid all my movies of that moment.
But it all depends on how it's executed. I love the tropes a lot of times. I think stuff like that is so fun. I don't know. So it just depends.
I'm not saying there's not tropes. I'm just trying to you know. I don't want to be that predictable. Like, you know, there's definitely still tropes happening, but it's just, you know, I had a beat that I think it got cut though, where, cause I find it extremely satisfying to like sweep snow off of something after a snowfall, like a 12 inch, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just sweep your arm across it. I just love doing that. And I had that as a little character beat. I don't think it stayed. I'm going to use it again though.
Yeah.
And I have them like falling into a snow, like jumping into a snowdrift, but not seeing, you know that thing where they fall on the snow, but then they turn and see each other's eyes. So I'm trying to do it where they're both falling into a snowdrift, but they don't see each other and they talk, but they can't see each other.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of cute.
That sounds really cute. The one that I am tired of is the, save the farm.
This is a save the ranch. I'm sorry to tell you, it is a save the ranch,
but, it can be done well. And it's just so often is kind of lazy, but I trust you and your writing that will be done well. I think I tried
not to use the word save, but I think it got in one line because it's not necessarily the ranch is going to close. It's that it's not going to, there was a drought. They can't afford to keep things as they are. Like they just can't make, you know, they're barely making ends meet. They need a second loan, but they need to figure out a way to cover it and make more money and find an income stream. So it's not necessarily save the ranch. It's just sort of like, you know, keep things going as they are and better.
I'm excited.
There's not that many. Someone wrote that. Isn't there? I just saw it. Like there's only five Hallmark plots or whatever, you know? So that's the other thing is, you know, we know that there's so many similarities. It's really our job to sort of just make it happen in a different way that's amusing to people or that's different or that's, you know, oh, wait, I haven't seen them do snow like that yet, you know?
Yeah, I don't mind the similarity at all, but it's just how it's executed. And so, but
it is how it's executed. It is like Christmas Club. It's not a save the, but there's she needs to find a place to open a new dance studio and have a recital for Christmas Eve because her current one closes unexpectedly. So it's not save the studio. It's find a new studio. Ha 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 ha.
I mean, so was it amazing to get to meet Kelly Martin? She's a legend.
Oh, I've known her. Yeah, I've known her for a long time. She did my first first Hallmark.
I forgot.
Hello, it's me. So we've become friends and just kind of, you know, we talk a lot. This project took a long time to finally get made because it used to just be a straight up ranch movie. And then they had one that aired in the fall. So that got that spot. And basically the only way to kind of keep it alive was to reconfigure it into a Christmas movie, which I think it turned out great as a Christmas movie. I liked it. It was just, you know, we had to kind of go back and redo it, you know, in that way. But so it was a long process, and Kelly's an executive producer on that, and so we were very close, you know, in touch all the time with all these changes and everything. She's amazing and normal and so down to earth. I love her.
Yeah,
she's great.
That's
cool. And Colin, I've never met Colin Ferguson until this trip, and we had dinner a few times when I was up there, and he's super nice and funny and he's great.
That'll be good. I'm excited about it. And so there you go. We talked about your three new movies. Congratulations. That is a huge
accomplishment.
And we're definitely all looking forward to them. You do a really good job. And
I'm
looking forward to all your projects. And so where can people follow you on social media and all that fun stuff?
So I'm definitely trying to do more Instagram now. So that one is JulieShermanWolf_writer. And then Twitter is ShermWolf, and Wolf has an E on the end of all these Wolf. So at ShermWolf. And then I believe my Facebook, which I don't really, I usually just do the Instagram that goes to the Facebook page, which is JulieShermanWolf-writer.
Okay.
And that, I believe, is it.
Great. We'll have all that in the description section. And
awesome.
Yes. And so you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all over social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. And you can follow the podcast all over social media. And if you're listening on iTunes, please give us your ratings and reviews. We really appreciate it. And if you're listening on YouTube, if you can give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. We sure appreciate that as well. And please consider becoming a patron. We talked about it a little bit earlier.
Do it.
Consider becoming a patron.
Do it. Become a Patreon.
Yes.
Be a Patreon.
We do have so much fun. And then also we have our merch store, which has all kinds of fun stuff. And so check that out.
You did such cute t-shirts, Rachel.
Thank you. Thank you. We've had a lot of fun coming up with that store. So anyway, check it out. And thanks so much, Julie. It's always a blast. And,
thank you so much for having me. I'm going to make sure Nina gets laryngitis so I can catch up to her.
Okay.
So she's going to... I might have to poison Nina just to get close, just to get close. You know, it's fine. We're good.
And she, that's funny. Yeah. Well, we will definitely have you back on and sooner than what's been over a year. It's too long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
too
no, long. Definitely. Now we'll that definitely there's no more better. Gaps. So we're good. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me back on.
All right. Well, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas. And we'll talk
same to you
soon.